Okay, well, let's turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Tonight, we're going to continue our study in the book of Proverbs. As I set out on this study, I had no idea how challenging it would be. Just for a little insight into this, this book is a totally different kind of literature than what you would read, say, in the New Testament, where it's more or less letters that are written. This is poetry. And in the original language of Hebrew, that's the way it was written, and our English translations have sought to try to convey that, but you can only do so much. But this is not all chronological. It's a compilation of different sayings that have been put together. But it has greatly challenged me in my study of the Word of God, but I've enjoyed it, and I trust that I can transfer the things that God has been teaching me onto you. We have already looked at the beginning and in the introduction of this book of Proverbs, the first seven verses of the book. And what I'd like to do is reread them again so we get our mindset into what God wants us to understand about this book. So Proverbs chapter 1 will begin at verse 1. We'll read down through verse 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now say this verse with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we see here from the beginning, this introduction and the motto of this book, that a great theme of this book is that of wisdom. In fact, many people call Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job wisdom literature because it is written in such a way that it seeks to portray or give us God's wisdom to teach us how we can live in our world in a wise and godly way. So keeping that in mind, what I'd like to do tonight is do a little study on wisdom. Now, what I'd like to do, the way I would like to approach this, is I'd like your involvement tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'd like to ask you a couple questions. First of all, how would you define wisdom? How would you define wisdom? And I'm doing a little different format tonight, so I expect involvement. Julia. Knowledge applied. Yes. Has anybody else been taught back down through the years? Bruce? Same thing? Yeah. Right. Good. Good. Key word there is application. Yes. In my studies of wisdom, I have sought to try to put a definition together. Now, you know, I am no Noah Webster, all right? But this idea of application is very key to our understanding of wisdom. So as I define wisdom, I define it as the ability to skillfully make choices based on previous experience and acquired knowledge that produces successful and purposeful results. Now, it's kind of a long definition. Applied knowledge is so much easier, you know, but I tried to fit all of these different aspects of the idea of wisdom. It involves skill. Wisdom involves making right choices. Wisdom involves having previous experience, having acquired knowledge, and putting them into practice, applying them to a certain situation. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of my cell phone. Now, you may think that's crazy, but I have a cell phone, and I wanted to put a protective cover sheet on the front of it, you know, to protect it. Well, they send you these things, and if you didn't have instructions with it, you would really be lost. I mean, they have these little numbered tabs on, and you're supposed to, you know, number one and number two. Well, which tab you pull off first, and which tab goes on the phone, and which one goes off the phone, and, you know, it's kind of a crazy thing, but the instructions. Instructions are key. And, you know, you sit there and you read the instructions and you gain the idea of how to do this. So how to apply what you have learned in doing this act of putting this sticker on the cell phone. So reading the instructions, spending time looking at the item, and then wisdom comes by applying all of those things that I've acquired, the knowledge and understanding from reading the instructions, the handling of the sticker. Wisdom comes by applying it, using all of those things that I've already learned. Now, as I was doing this, as I was going through this study, I asked myself several questions, and I trust that you are asking yourself these things as well. What do I need to know about wisdom? I have six different questions here. I don't need to write them down, but hopefully they will spark an interest in you. The first thing I thought of is I need to know that wisdom is something that's learned. It's not something that just happens in a person. And we're going to go through several scriptures tonight, but as you see, some of the words that go around wisdom just from the first seven verses are words such as instruction, understanding, and knowledge, justice, judgment, equity, all of these different ideas that we need to realize that if we desire to be people of wisdom, this is something that just doesn't happen in your life. It is something that you need to work at. You need to learn. Second statement I have here is I need to know that wisdom is founded upon the fear of the Lord. And we're going to see tonight the foundation of wisdom. Where it comes from, it comes from fearing the Lord. You know, this study has given me a whole new aspect of wisdom because it's just not this idea of applied, you know, it's more than this idea of applied knowledge. There's a lot of things that, you know, do you have wisdom? I could ask you that and you could say, sure, I have wisdom. Not realizing that there are a lot of things that really go into this idea of wisdom, especially the wisdom that God talks about. Another statement I have is I need to know how I can attain wisdom. How can I get it? We talk about wisdom. We're talking about it here in Proverbs. How can wisdom be a part of my life? Because quite frankly, what's it say in James? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask with faith, believing. How many times have you prayed that prayer? God, I lack wisdom. Oh my, I probably pray that every other day, if not every day. God, give me wisdom. And we pray and ask God for wisdom, believing and having faith. How can we get it? How can we attain wisdom? Another statement, I need to know the practical definition of wisdom. Practically speaking, what is it? Applied knowledge. It requires the skill of applying the knowledge that you have. I need to know why I need wisdom. There's a lot of people out there that disregard the truths of the Word of God because they don't realize why they need them. You know, the book of Proverbs describes people that are wise, but it also describes people that despise God's wisdom. And as you study the book of Proverbs or read through it, you will quickly realize that a person that lacks wisdom is the kind of person that you do not want to be. And then finally, you need to know that wisdom is one of two ways that people can go in life. They can go after wisdom, or they can choose to neglect wisdom. And by simply choosing to neglect, to go after wisdom, they have settled themselves into the state of being naive, of being a simple-minded person, and as Proverbs says, a person that is a fool. So tonight, we're going to look at several passages in the book of Proverbs, and I trust that this will challenge you in this idea of wisdom. And I trust that we will all walk away tonight understanding it better and having a desire to have it be a part of our lives. I want to first look at what is the foundation of wisdom. Where does wisdom really come from? Where does it come from? Look at Proverbs chapter 2 with me. And you will see very clearly here, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Listen, dear ones, we aspire to be wise people. We aspire to be wise parents. We really desire in our hearts to deal wisely with our families, at work, with our dealings. We want to be wise people. Here we see that wisdom is from the Lord. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives it. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I want to encourage us tonight. We aspire to be wise people. May we not run to other things for this wisdom. May we run to our Lord. Why is it that the Apostle Paul longs so much to know his Lord? Why is it? I believe the Apostle Paul realized. One thing he realized was that the Lord is the one that gives him wisdom. And we need to long after and seek to know our God. For He is the one who will give us the wisdom for this life, the skill to apply the acquired knowledge that we have so that we can make good and right choices in this life. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9 with me, and you'll see a familiar phrase. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Speaking of the foundation of wisdom, and where does wisdom come from? Chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." We've talked about the fear of the Lord. We talked about that last week. And what is the fear of the Lord? And how the fear of the Lord is the foundation, the principal part of wisdom. The idea that here that it says it's the beginning of wisdom does not mean that the fear of the Lord just begins wisdom in your life and then you don't need it anymore. No. The fear of the Lord is the most important part of wisdom in a person's life. For a person to be a wise person and rightly apply the truths of God's Word, even here in Proverbs, they need to have a right perspective upon the Lord, of the Lord. And we talked about that last week, about the fear of the Lord and how it's a platform upon which we can see our God and know how to live in this life. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, think with me here, and it's an opportunity for you to participate. I'll give you a warning. Think about that phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can we put that in our own words? What does that really mean? Nan.
Well, I think they have an awe and respect of the Lord.
You know, they just started off getting that, you know, good. Yes. I would agree. Harold.
Said about your proper relationship with God and understanding that your perception is totally out of whack.
Good. Yes. Yes. And Nan, I'm not picking on you, but when, as you were saying it, I saw you were deep in thought. You were trying to put this into words. And I want us to understand this is a challenging thing for us to put our minds on. Okay? To really shape this idea of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I think you guys did a good job. Because as we look at our God and we have a proper respect, a proper reverence for Him, it puts us in our place of where we need to be, that is a servant of our Lord, a worshiper of our Lord. It puts Him in the place where He should be, the exalted Jehovah God, the self-existent One. It puts us in our proper places, in our minds, so that we then can begin to look and see life properly. Because God is the One who has designed this creation and this life. And we want to see life as He sees it. For we believe that it is the best perspective. Andrea.
The word of beginning always goes to the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of wisdom is not attained when you're done in life. Mm-hmm. Right. But you can't find the end of God, but it's the beginning. But if you just start an hour and start an instruction, you can only get the wisdom.
Yes. Good point. Good point. Yes, you do not see anywhere such and such is the end of wisdom. Yeah, that's a very good point. It is a ever ongoing process, this idea of wisdom. So if you want to be a wise person, you're signing up for a long, long time. Okay, good. Good. Any other thoughts on that phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? It's the idea. This is the idea. We're building the foundation. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. The Lord is the one that gives wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the next question is, how do I get wisdom? How can it become a part of my life? The acquiring of wisdom. And I observed, and there's probably many more, and this is no, by far not an exhaustive study on wisdom, but identified several different things here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2 as we're talking about how do I get wisdom? How can a wisdom be a part of my life? The first thing I believe we see here in Proverbs chapter 2 is by fervently seeking after the Lord. Chasing after Him. Seeking to know Him. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment, and preserves the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. when wisdom enters into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And then he goes on to describe the evil man and the evil way. But what we see here is several different words communicating the idea of seeking after, longing for. After, you're longing for the Lord. We're talking about wisdom tonight. And we desire to be people of wisdom, people that have wisdom. Then a part of our life should be an intense desire to seek after God. You see here, the writer writing to his son, he says, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, listen, incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." And then verse 3, "If thou criest after knowledge..." If you lift up your voice, this idea is you're calling after them. You're searching for them. This is an attitude of a heart, of your heart. You have a longing, intense desire to know God. And knowing the Lord, we've already seen, the Lord is the one who gives wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And listen, dear ones, as we seek to know and understand wisdom, we need to understand that that will come as we increasingly seek to know God. Many times we ask ourselves, how is that person blessed with so much wisdom? And many times we do not know the intense desires of that person's heart as they chase after God. And I want to tell you, as you chase after God, God will grant you the ability to make skillful, right choices in life. He will give you the wisdom to help you through. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. How do I get wisdom? Well, first, by fervently seeking after the Lord. The second thing is by diligently heeding God's instructions, by listening to what God has said. Proverbs chapter 4. Listen to this. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." Instructions from a father to a son. And he is very clearly saying, listen, listen to God's instructions. Listen to it. And then get wisdom, get understanding. Verse 4, "He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments." And what? And live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom, can it be a part of my life? Wisdom comes from listening and obeying God's commands. You know, we talk about Proverbs being part of wisdom literature. We really could look at this whole book, the Bible, as a book of wisdom. For what we see here is God sharing with us how He has sought to deal with mankind, how He has sought to bring mankind to Himself, how mankind is to live on this earth and to exalt His name. Listen, wisdom, it's just not something that just happens. It requires obedience to the Lord. You aspire to be a wise person, then seek to know God and seek to obey what He has written for us in His Word. That's an important principle. Down through the ages, God has blessed obedience. And one of those blessings is giving His men and women who obey wisdom for daily life. Wisdom to make good and right choices. You see, God wants us to be a good testimony for Him. And now He is giving us the instructions so that we may live a good life. So therefore we can then have a good testimony before the lost in the world. So get to know the Lord and get to know His instructions. Turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she cries upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live. And go in the way of understanding. Wisdom, many times throughout the book of Proverbs, is personified. Personified is a big word for meaning that wisdom is a personality is given to wisdom. And it is a feminine word, so the Hebrew uses the feminine pronoun her to describe wisdom. And she is described as a woman. Several places throughout Proverbs. And here you see her. She has made her dwelling, and she is calling out in the streets, calling out to those that are what? That are simple-minded. Simple-minded is that idea that they're naive. They have not yet sought after the wisdom of God. The simple are, they have maybe are young and immature. Wisdom is seeking to gather those people into her dwelling, before these ones walk into the path of destruction. For Proverbs talks about another woman. A woman who leads people astray. And we see here wisdom has provided a dwelling. And what does she call out? She says, come, verse 5, come. It's an invitation. Wisdom is providing an invitation to us. Come. Eat of my bread. Drink of the wine which I've mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. and go in the way of understanding. You know, in a way, this could almost be an Old Testament description of what happens in a person's life when they trust Christ. You have an invitation. Come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Embrace what I have to offer. Ingest what I have to offer. Ingest what I stand for. Eat of my bread and drink of my wine. And what does it say? It says, forsake the foolish. Forsake the way of the foolish ones. That idea is turn away from it. Put it behind you and go in a different direction. What's it say? The different direction is live and live. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. How do I get wisdom? Respond to her invitation. That's an open invitation, folks. An open invitation to come. Come unto her. Come. Heed her instructions. Seek to know her. Know her. Practically speaking for us, come unto Jesus Christ. Seek to know Him and understand Him. Understand His life and death, burial and resurrection. Understand how that has an impact in your life, not only at salvation, but every single day it should impact your life. Forsake the way of the foolish. Forsake the way of living like the world. And live for God. In other words, get your eyes off the way of the world and look to the way of God. And then go. Go in the way of understanding. Go in what knowledge and understanding God has given to you. Go and live for Him. How do we get wisdom? Seek after the Lord. Listen to His instructions. And respond. Respond to His invitation to embrace Him as Lord. Embrace Him as truth. This really, for folks that don't know Christ, is an invitation. Come unto Jesus, trust and believe in me for salvation. That's where wisdom will begin for them. That's where their life of wisdom and walking in wholeness before God will begin. That's where I began. God was so gracious to me in my life. I responded to the invitation when I was just a young man. And with the Spirit of God in a person's life, this wisdom that God has given to us, it's doable. We can understand it. We can apply the things that He's teaching us to daily life. I think that's pretty exciting. Wisdom's invitation. Come. Come unto me. Enter into my house. Dwell with me. She is calling out to those that are simple because she realizes that out on that busy street, there are many calling this one's name, seeking to lead them in the way of foolishness. You see, there are many ways that people can go astray. There is one way that people can walk in the ways of God. And wisdom is calling out. Our role as believers is to come alongside those people in the world, those people that are walking in the ways of destruction, and share this invitation with them. Come. Come into the way of God, for that is true wisdom. Forsake the way of the foolish and live the way of God, and then go in the way of understanding. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but a righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make rich. And here what we see is there are incredible blessings of following after the Lord. Elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, we also read that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Humility is a part of wisdom. How are we to acquire wisdom? It requires a person that is humble. You may think, you know, I am a wise person. That's wrong. We need to realize that I am in need of God. I am my Lord's servant. He will give me wisdom so that I may use it for his honor and for his glory. With the lowly, with the humble, is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. How do I get wisdom? Well, we get wisdom by receiving good counsel. Look at verse 10 of chapter 13. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wisdom comes from those, comes as a result of seeking wise and good counsel. You know, as a church, we are not designed to be lone rangers, believers. God has designed us as a church to exist together. And he has given us people that are more mature in the faith that can help us along in this life and help and point us in the direction of God's wisdom. Nobody has got the handle on wisdom. You know, it's not somebody's special thing and we all go to them. It's not the pastor. It's not the deacons. Now, God grants those of us wisdom as we grow in our knowledge of him, as we seek to obey him, as we seek to fear and reverence him. God gives us wisdom. And I want to encourage you, be drawn. Allow yourself to hang around those kind of people. Those kind of people that chase after God. For the Lord's wisdom hovers around those people. And that's the kind of people that you want to be your counselors. That is the kind of people that you want to be giving you directions. The kind of people that are seeking after God, seeking to follow his instructions. People that have responded to wisdom's invitation. People that are humble. In the last verse, chapter 29 and verse 15, I want to look here and we'll end here. Chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. How do we get wisdom? Sometimes it takes an ouch. Sometimes it takes reproof. Sometimes it takes some discipline. You know, we as parents, we try to tell our children sometimes, you know, this is good for you. We're helping you. We're training you. But they don't truly understand that. But listen, adults, do we understand it? Do we realize that the chastening of the Lord is for our good, to train us and to help us become wise people? The discipline and chastening of the Lord assists us in giving, it gives us wisdom. It says here, the rod and reproof give wisdom. So listen, when you mess up in your life, and it happens to us all, when you mess up, confess your sin and walk in wholeness before the Lord. And as you may suffer consequences for your sin, learn from them. Learn from them and apply what you learn to the next decisions you have to make in life. That's wisdom. Did you see that? You're applying the knowledge that you have gained in your life to situations. Do that with skill. That's wisdom. So how do I get wisdom? Seek after the Lord. Listen to His instructions. Respond to wisdom's invitation. Be humble. Listen to good counsel. And finally, by being disciplined and being corrected. So that's how we get wisdom. Is that easy? No. It's not just like that. But those are some scriptural principles and truths that I trust will encourage you and me as we think about this idea of wisdom. As we ask God for wisdom almost every day, Lord, grant me wisdom. You can do that. Grant me wisdom. But as you're praying that, seek to do these things.